Please, make me a fan.
What the fuck?
Mental vacation.
Makes me seem like a horrible individual.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Have anal sex with a person who, prior to the deed, has swallowed a piece of raw bacon.
What?
like fucking a chicken.
That'd be awesome. Well, make me a fan of your crime.
They still had places to go. You know, there was still bar.
Make me a fan, Cupcake.
Welcome everyone to the Make Me a Fan podcast. I am Sean McGregor. I am not joined today by my beautiful wife or my brother TJ, but I do have two very special guests all the way from Bloomington, Indiana, I believe it is. Jay Batts and McCall from the What If podcast. What's up, guys?
How we doing?
Hey, not too bad, man.
Hey, I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Not too bad. It's been a long week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. You guys getting any of that hurricane weather down in Indiana?
No, it's a little chillier than it usually is this time of year, at least, you know, for the last decade or so, but it's, it's not bad now. A little windier than normal, you know, to see a little.
Yeah. Yeah. The last few, outside of the hurricane thing, the last few years, winter wise, have been really, really mild for us. Yeah. So
I think we saw maybe 2 days of snowfall last winter.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, but it's pretty nice up here. We can't really complain too much.
Yeah, I spent a year in Kokomo, Indiana, and I think maybe we got like a half inch of snow that entire year.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, so you guys, we did a last crossover episode, which was what if you could bring back your favorite musician, but you had to kill someone. And we had a great time doing that. So we brought you guys back to do an official Make Me a Fan podcast. And you guys are going to make me a fan of churches paying taxes, right?
Yep.
All right. Cool. Well, let me ask you guys: were you brought up religious, or are you guys religious at all?
Well, this is Jay Bass. I wasn't. We were brought up religious, like pretty basically every sect of, you know, what flavor of Christianity you want to try this week was what our mom did.
Okay.
And because she had a lot of problems that she never really solved, but one of them was trying to find God, apparently. And she never really solved that one either.
But she wanted to give us the opportunity.
Yeah, because she was brought up in like a fire and brimstone kind of time where it's like, you know, preachers are like, you're going to hell if you don't believe, so you better believe kind of thing. And so I just sort of myself, I'm not a religious person. I consider myself an atheist. So,
yeah. Michael, I don't really consider myself religious. However, I consider myself an agnostic, but I do consider myself spiritual. Okay. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I consider myself agnostic also.
Yeah, like, I know this is going to sound very new agey and probably turn some people off, but it's who I am, so I can't really apologize for it.
Yeah,
I do, exactly. I kind of have this opinion, Sean. I feel like whenever I pass away, there's going to be a little bit of my energy that goes back into the cosmos, right? You know?
Yeah.
So as long, and I know it's not going to be the same, you know, as it is when I'm alive, and, you know, there won't be the same consciousness and everything, but as long as I know that I still get to be in some way or shape or form a part of the universe, then that, you know, if this is all that there is, that type of thing, then it gives me a pretty good impetus to want to be a good person while I'm here and while I am conscious and alive, you know?
Yeah, I think that,
you know, it's that whole, have you ever heard of that whole campaign, the whole like good without God?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay, it's kind of like what some atheists advertise because, you know, there's always that stigma that goes along with it.
Yeah.
You know, like religious people automatically assume that if you're an atheist, you hate religion or you like, you have no moral compass because something, you know, you can't, God isn't telling you what to do to be a good person.
Yeah.
You can just do that without having to pray to something.
Yeah. So the short of it with me, the long and short of it, not to drag it on, I apologize, is just like, I used to consider myself atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Like for a while there. I've had some things happen in my life, so I consider myself agnostic now, like you said. And I do tend to, like I said, I do tend to believe that, like, you know, that your energy kind of does continue on. So there's something about that that's kind of soothing to me, you know?
Yeah, I think agnostic is honestly the way to go. I think, like, no offense to atheists, but I think atheists and, you know, true believers are, they're basically bipolar but cut out of the same cloth. Like, I don't think anyone's smart enough to actually know what the real answer is. I don't think any religion actually has it. I don't think atheists has it. Well, I don't think we're smart enough to know if there is a God or if there isn't, or what actually anything really is.
Well, the thing with atheists is people think that atheists just don't want, you know, they think there isn't, they know there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the militant atheists, like the Richard Dawkins followers, those guys that do that.
Okay.
The God delusion guy, you know,
so you're saying like there's a spectrum.
There's, right? It's kind of, yeah, like the political spectrum. There's a, yeah, far left and a far right. You know, there's a, you know, far non-believer and a far firm believer.
Mm-hmm.
Where I kind of fall on that spectrum, I guess, would be I would love the evidence, but there has not been convincing enough evidence that can be reproduced well enough to, like, make me believe.
Yeah, and that's fair enough.
And I'm sort of a see it to believe it kind of guy. That's why I kind of have a hard time believing in ghosts sometimes, even though I have had paranormal experiences.
Yeah, what I'm saying, even though you have a keen interest in it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have an interest in ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I love Bigfoot, but I don't think he's real.
Sean,
huh?
This isn't me busting out on my brother. It is a little bit.
Yeah, go for it.
Like, I love Josh to death, but do not let this guy see something creepy after a while, because it will be a while before he decides to wind down. Because, oh, yeah, what, some of the stuff you see just stays with you, right, dude?
That's why I'm kind of, like, I'm kind of terrified to see It. You know? Because I remember seeing it in the, you know, when Tim Curry was the monster back in the 90s, and that was kind of weird, because I watched him in Legend, and it was like, that's fucking awesome, with the big devil horns and all that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But then him as the clown, I have a little bit of chlorophobia too, where I just do not like clowns. You know? Like, during that, back last year, whenever they had all those clowns showing up everywhere and at the edge of the forest, it's like, this has to be viral marketing for that movie.
Yeah, for sure.
If you don't mind me asking you, flip side, kind of what's, I mean, I know you said you're agnostic, but kind of what's your background?
I was raised religious. I was Lutheran. I went to a private school pretty much up until high school.
Oh, okay. And, that's kind of crazy that you should say that, because I considered myself religious up until about my sophomore year. Like, I considered myself, kind of like what Josh said. Like, I'm not saying this in a mean way, but kind of just religious in a very sort of broad Christian sense.
Yeah.
So, and I was very sort of devout.
Non-denominational.
Yeah, non-denominational.
Okay, yeah.
And just a lot of it's kind of interesting how a lot of, like, hardships expose questions and make you think. And, you know, it's sort of like, some people are like, oh, well, whenever things are going wrong, I find comfort. And it was one of those things where it's like,
you had time to have comfort.
Yeah, yeah. I won't fully go into it. That might be more of a private conversation with us. But yeah, you know, Josh, it was a pretty tumultuous time in our teenage years, right?
Yeah.
Family wise.
That's,
so,
yeah, that's when the whole, basically, when our family had a lot of changes going on.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, not all of them were positive. So,
yeah.
So that kind of gave me a chance to, you know, to discover what I was. And I went through a period of being, for a while there, I was anti-religious. And then I kind of talked to Josh, and I realized there was a difference between being anti-religious and being, like, atheist. Yeah, well, yeah. So, anyway, sorry, I'm not trying to run on and on.
No, it's no problem. Yeah, so I went to a public high school after going to a small little Christian school my entire life, knowing, you know, the same people. And then I went to a big, big high school, and, you know, that first day of gym class, like, these two giant, like, 18-year-old black dudes are fighting in the fucking hallway. And I'm like, what the hell did I just get myself into? Like, I don't know anyone. And for a while, like, I tried exploring other religions, like, I remember I stole the Satanic Bible from the mall. I read that. I was like, oh, I'll try some spells. None of it worked. And I was like, fucking, if I'm going to believe in something, I'm not going to believe in Satanism, because then I'm pretty much going to believe the losing side of the two fights. It's like, okay, well, devil's already in hell. He already lost. Like, the best I can do is go down there too.
Now, you mean devil worship, not Satanism, right?
Oh, no, I got the Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey.
Yeah, yeah.
Satanism really isn't, if you think about it, it's not really per se a religion. It's more of a way of life.
Yeah.
It's more of
I just wanted to make sure because there are people that will cherry pick the shit out of that.
Part of the reason why I kind of perked up when you said that was because I went through before I was actually considered myself agnostic like I am now. I went through a period where, I still kind of do consider myself, even though I consider myself agnostic, like I do engender and enjoy a lot of different philosophies. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of important to have respect for a lot of different philosophies, you know? Yeah. And one of those, there are parts of Satanism that I kind of agree with. I even have a tattoo that I've been given hell for having. Like, maybe one of those times I'll go ahead and I'll send you a pic of it. Uh-huh. But it's kind of interesting that you said that. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Like, most of the religions are, you know, the main religions are pretty much the fucking same. Like, if you look at, like, Islam and Christianity, like, a lot of the stories are identical.
Well, yeah, they have the same, essentially the same God. It's just they call them different names.
Exactly.
Same type of origin stories, too.
Yeah. You know, a big flood, you know, a savior dying, prophets, shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you guys think this church taxation should cover all religions, right? Not because usually when people are like, we need to tax the church, they're just like talking about Catholics or like the mega churches.
Well, it should be like if you're trying to start a business, because that's what churches essentially are nowadays. Yeah. Because look at Joel Osteen, what he's done with the hurricane thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have heard of that, right? What happened with him?
Yeah, he won't let people into his mega church.
He wasn't, and then after social media destroyed him, basically
like exposed him,
you know, mm-hmm. called him out on it. He's like, no, our doors have been open the whole time. Right? So, and then also after that happened, that he was passing out a collection plate. You know,
oh, of course,
when the Sims Harvey were there because he's got to make his money somehow, right?
I thought that was
kind of tasteless to hand out.
Well, that's why I say it's like a business.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like you're handling this like, you know, like a businessman would. Saying, you know, hey, we essentially you're going to stay here. We're going to collect a fee from you one way or another.
Well, outside of what we're going to be discussing, like to answer part of what you just asked a second ago, with me, I do think that we should tax them. However, I don't think I've even told Josh this yet. Like, I do tend to think that if we tax them, though, it should be the same type of way that we do with people.
Well, that's what I was saying. Start a business.
Yeah, like what I'm saying, same thing like you do with people. Mm-hmm. Like the people that can afford to give more. Tax them at a larger rate. Mm-hmm. Don't tax these small churches that have a hard time. I mean, like, do tax them, but don't tax them heavily. You know what I'm saying? Like, these huge mega churches, they can afford to give a decent percent to – and the argument that they give sometimes is, oh, well, we help socially. Okay, it's also your social responsibility to give back in, you know, like to
– Because a lot of the churches that, like, especially those mega churches and just bigger, like the Catholic Church and things like that – they say they're giving back to the community, and they say they're helping those who are less fortunate, and they are really just lining their coffers and, you know, pulling a, you know, for lack of a better term, pulling a Trump on the people that they're trying to – they're supposed to be helping.
Yeah.
They're just not fulfilling the promises they were made.
Well, and I think that tends to be more of a sort of fair attitude too, because it's like if you have more – I'm not saying that you shouldn't enjoy having what you have, but you should not feel as bad about taking and – wanting, if your goal is to truly help people, then take a part of what you have and give it for the betterment of society. Them paying the taxes would actually be a great example of showing how Christian they actually are.
But,
you know,
but wouldn't it like kind of mostly harm the, even though they're getting a tax less, wouldn't it harm the smaller churches? Kind of like now, you know, our tax code, if you can hire, you know, an accountant and lawyers and shit, you can find every single loophole imaginable. So wouldn't the mega churches just, you know, find loopholes through everything and actually get more money back? Meanwhile, all these tiny little, you know, 30 people congregations they can't afford to pay their taxes anymore, and they're all getting shut down. And then,
well, you see, that's why we need tax reform. No, that's again, though, that's a reason that it could be helped, or a way that it could be helped, is to, you know, if they were to start taxing churches, they would have to do things to shift the tax code around to make it so that not just rich jerk-offs can get off paying taxes by itemizing literally every single paperclip they have in their office or something like that, you know. So give it a, you know, again, I'm no tax expert by any means at all, but it just seems like it should be fairer than it is nowadays.
So then would we have to will we have to start taxing all nonprofits then?
Well, it depends on, again, the thing about doing this where it would be super difficult is because you would have to do everything on a case by case basis.
you'd have to investigate like how they're helping, how much they're giving when they help, and if they're making a difference.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just like starting a business. They'll ask you what you want to do, what your business mm-hmm. is about, you know, what kind of, you know, how much you expect to make, how much, you know, what your losses you think are going to be, that kind of thing, and sort of meet it out and just kind of sort through it to find out which ones need the higher taxes versus lower taxes. And like, if you're some podunk country church in the middle of nowhere and all you do is have, you know, pitch-ins and get-togethers every, you know, other day than Sunday, you know, like one of those, like the Pentecostals where they have church on Monday and Wednesday and Sunday.
Yeah, those mommy's dragons too.
Yeah, all those blue jean skirts, Jesus.
And all the horribly out of tune Amazing Grace.
Yeah, but no, all the, like, if you're like some little podunk type church, you probably shouldn't, you know, pay as high a tax as, say, like, you know, Pat Robertson.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, don't get me started.
But that's what I'm saying, because like if you're able to have a giant facility, like a fucking, like they bought a former NBA stadium for Osteen's church.
Yeah, yeah. I saw some pictures while Googling it.
It's huge.
Lakewood, right? Lakewood.
Yeah, it's huge. And it's like they can fit like 15,000 people or something like that.
Yeah, so, or a little bit more, yeah.
Something like that. They can seat so many, many people. And it's like that church right there, they could deal with paying taxes.
Yeah,
but if you got some pastor who inherited his church from his, you know, congregation from years and years and years and years, and the thing's like an old limestone building that's falling apart or something, they probably could deal with not being taxed as highly.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it would hurt churches if you know. It's a case by case basis, so it's a very difficult thing to be enforced.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things though. Like I would look at it this way, that like. Like Josh saying, being case by case, the thing is, even with it being a case by case, right, you know, there's still a bit of social responsibility, right, you know?
Yeah.
And I, even though I think that, you know, some people would try to worm their way around it, even though it's a very sort of difficult, I guess what I'm trying to say is, even though it's a very sort of difficult thing, it would be a difficult thing to sort of like implement. It's one of those things that, even though it might be difficult at the beginning,
once it gets rolling,
it could be very beneficial, because like people, not all people, but I think a good portion of just people in general would more or less be like, well, it's not fair for these smaller things to be floundering and for these other people to get loopholes. So eventually there would be some sort of change. There would be like some sort of referendum, you know. I mean, it might not happen right away, though, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, because you don't want the government just kind of picking and choosing which churches to be able to tax. Like, you know, it's got to be, you know, the more, in my opinion, the more power you give the government, the more corrupt they're going to get with it. So if they're able to say, you know, okay, we're going to pick and choose, we're going to investigate, next thing you know, they're getting, you know, money from this church to say, hey, maybe we don't need to be taxed so much.
I'm sorry.
I think that's okay. I'm again, with the whole being an atheist thing, I do believe in the whole, like, having a separation of church and state. But again, if the church is going to operate as if they were a state, you know what I mean? If they're their own little community kind of thing, then they have to give back. And if they're not giving back in one way, they should be able to give back another.
Well, yeah, that, and the thing is another sort of thing that I'd read and I tend to agree with is that, like, you know, I do respect the whole, like Josh was saying, the whole separation of church and state. I've always kind of felt strongly about that. However, and I don't necessarily mean this for the smaller churches, although some of them do. I think it's kind of gotten to the point now where the line, even though people don't want it that way, the line's been blurred because there are churches that are involved in politics.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's definitely not separation of church and state. I mean, that's them putting their money towards an interest. So it's like sort of like, and I mean this towards both sides. I mean this towards the sides of people that want to have this implemented, and also towards the people that would have it implemented on. It's like you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You can't not want to be taxed and then also get the benefit of throwing your money behind someone who will protect your interests, and then vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I went to a, you know, the private school, and I think it was in maybe sixth grade, I think. It was during the Bush Senior and George Clinton, or not Bill Clinton. Yeah, fucking yeah. George Clinton. George. Yeah, the Bill Clinton election.
P-Funk, right?
Yeah. But yeah, it was during that election, and I was going to a Christian school, and my parents were Democrat, but the school was telling us all how we should tell our parents that George Bush is really good because he's going to, you know, get rid of abortion and shit like that. So obviously that's a private school, a church school, a small one too, trying to affect politics. And yeah, the whole reason why churches aren't taxed is to keep them, you know, obviously separate. But part of that agreement is they don't get involved in politics, but yet obviously they are. Even the fucking tiny ones where
it's steadily blurred. Yeah.
So
you know, so like with this suggestion, it's not like. For me, I guess I'm saying like, you know, I don't want it to be like a totalitarian thing. It's not like I want anybody to go into any of these places, like, you know, at gunpoint and be like,
to just rush in and be like the sheriff of Nottingham, where's your baby?
Yeah. Right. But it's one of those things where it's sort of like, you know, it's gotta be tit for tat. You know, if you want to be able to sway something, then you have to be able to give up in another place, you know?
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm not arguing with you guys on any of this. I'm just trying to think. But if, okay. We start taxing churches, you know, we find a fair way to do it, right?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden there's no more saying, hey, you guys can't get into politics. Now these mega churches, they might be paying taxes, but now they can also donate to presidential candidates, you know, Senate, congressmen. They can get people in their pockets that'll, you know, allow them to.
But they're kind of already there.
Yeah, but now they can, you know, just go out
they
and
can do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No
yeah,
more, you know, man in the shadows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I mean, no, I totally agree with what you're saying. It's one of those very, like, even whenever we picked this subject, we were like, well, it's one of those things that's worth approaching and fun to talk over.
Oh, yeah,
but
it's sure.
Very sort of hard to implement, you know?
Yeah, but the you know what the estimated amount would be, the government, you know, that would be saved in taxing other people and all that stuff would be, like, if they were to tax churches, right?
I think I saw something like $18
billion. $71 billion.
Yeah, it's
a year to, if churches paid taxes at a regular rate, they would it would just be like that. That's enough. Like the equation for that would be like if you were to use that money to buy every homeless person in the world a home, or every homeless person in the United States a home, we would not have homeless people.
Yeah.
Which like the real estate system is broken anyway.
How much is our national debt right now? I know it's trillions.
Yeah.
Like billions of trillions, but.
And we're still missing $2 trillion from somewhere during the Bush era.
And I think we just, like, borrowed another X amount of $1 billion for this hurricane relief.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, might as well just keep borrowing. I mean, we don't have fucking money. We owe, you know, we bomb fucking Japan, and then we build it back up. We kick Germany's ass, and then we build that back up. We give them all this money, and suddenly, even though we won the fight, now we owe all these fucking countries money.
Yeah.
And again, that would $71 billion would put a dent in that kind of deficit as well, you know.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
A little dent because it's trillions, of course. But you know, over time, it would take care of it.
Yeah, it's all it's kind about
of,
the
like what you're saying. That's kind of a mistake that I think America's made over time, anyways. Too is that we have this really bad habit of going into a place, you know, helping defend whatever in a certain conflict, and then once we've helped, after a while, we try pressing our point of view and our way on mm-hmm. people.
Americanizing them?
Yeah, we tried Americanizing them, whenever that's not always the answer, and we get pushed out. And we started out being, you know, for all intents and purposes, the savior in the situation, we end up being disliked.
Well, I mean, that's what comes with being a superpower, though, because when you're the defender of the world, you get to start pushing your weight around, basically.
It didn't work out really well with Al-Qaeda, did it?
No.
that was the big variable they didn't account for, you know?
Yeah. A pretty big variable.
There are other countries in the world that do tax their churches, though.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Germany, Italy, Spain, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, and Switzerland, and Austria, and Iceland.
Nice.
They're, you know, and they all have different rules about how they do it. And even, like, secular organizations, like Buddhists, or
ones
that don't have a central, like, God, you know.
Yeah.
Like a Trinity kind of thing.
Okay.
But they consider themselves, they are considered a religion because, you know, of their spirituality and things like that. They have, you know, if they're going to open a thing to offer a religious service to people, that is a taxable service. You know, it's not like groceries where you can't tax milk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What about the people that are donating, like, the collection money? Like, those people already got taxed. So
they're already paying their own taxes from their thing. So that would, you know, that would sort of,
in turn eliminate the collection plate if you think about it, because if they have to collect money to do whatever it is with the church, then people would start saying, well, aren't you guys paying taxes so you can get government benefits from these taxes? Since you are paying taxes, you're eligible for these. They're already eligible for a ton of government benefits because they're considered a nonprofit organization.
Yeah.
But if you're paying, you get what you pay for. If you're paying for some service, you know, like the government to not, you know, take over your organization or whatever, then you are eligible for better benefit type things.
Yeah.
In certain cases, it just depends. Yeah. So,
how do you guys feel about like taxation in general? Like, there's a lot of people that say, you know, like taxation is unconstitutional. It violates, you know, First Amendment, Fifth Amendment, 14th, whatever.
Well, it just, I see that if as long as you're not like wringing the neck of the people that you're trying to protect and serve, then taxes are okay because it does help with, you know, making sure that we're well defended, making sure that we have a good infrastructure, making sure, you know, that we have roads and stuff to drive on and stuff and like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you get to a point where your tax code is tilted unfairly to where you destroy, you know, the middle ground, where there's just extremes on each side of the tax code, it's like, look, this person makes over $500,000 a year, but they only pay 4% of their income in taxes. Well, this person makes less than $30,000 a year, and they're paying 15 to 20% in taxes.
Yeah.
That is not fair. Like, by all rights and means, it is not fair.
Yeah, for sure.
So the way that the taxes are fine as long as you implement them fairly. That's my take.
Well, I'm going to riff off of that a little bit, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
I think I tend to have my attitude about taxation is that I've had people tell me, well, you're just not fond of someone being wealthy. And that's not the case. Used to, now I'm not going to lie, used to when I was younger, because of growing up, you know, not always, you know, having a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, there was a long time where I didn't like wealth or wealthy people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you grow up, you tend to move past those things and get a fuller understanding of life, right? You know, so I'm older now, and I'm happy when people are doing well enough because they've done well enough to have their money. I think if you're lucky enough to have that money, I'm not like you should be able to enjoy a good amount of that money by all means. I mean, you've earned it, right?
Yeah.
But in the same breath, you know, I think the people with the larger amount of money do have they have to carry more of the burden than the people that don't have as much.
And
you know what I'm saying? Like it's not me just saying that socially. It's just sort of like, you know, it's like you can't expect someone who barely has two pennies to rub together to give all of what they have. They
can
give
sure.
any portion of what they have, but someone who has many, 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 many pennies, like more than you can imagine.
Yeah, there was some rule of thumb that said like if you're gonna donate to the church, you should give 10% of your income. It's like, why?
Yeah, that's basically what you give the government.
Yeah, well, sometimes 15%. It just depends on what, you know, what your tax status is or your tax bracket, what tax bracket you're in or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I remember times when we were growing up where we had to go to the soup kitchen, you know?
Oh, yeah,
there was no way we were going to be able to pay taxes.
That's nearly 30 grand a year, and that's in the 80s, which was decent money.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I mean, like, if you have to file a tax return, and you know they ask you how much you make per year, there should be a spectrum of what they charge you instead of just having, like I said, two sort of almost two different sides. It's like, once you hit this number, your tax money, the amount you pay goes up. You hit so many $100,000 a year, and then it just drops sharply.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And that's stupid. That's weird. That's not letting people live what did we used to call it, the American dream.
Yeah,
yeah, that thing.
Well, that's kind of slippery because I've known people that. You know, okay, they got 10 hours overtime in. They know exactly how much their check's going to be. If they work one more hour of overtime, they lose all 10 hours because they jump into that new tax bracket.
Yeah.
So it kind of discourages people from working more then.
Like, we recently got a raise.
Yeah.
And the way the university pays people, like, it gives you a raise, but it also, you know, they have to increase the tax things.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, instead of making, like, 20 cents more on the hour, which would equate to, like, $60 more on our paycheck, we make like $14 more in our paycheck because the rest of that goes to taxes,
or to our insurance, or they'll raise the insurance.
They haven't done that yet,
but not yet.
No, my rates just went up for 2018.
Yeah. Well, that's good. When you said that, that's kind of what got me thinking. Was the last few years last year they gave a 5% increase, and they like out where we work at IU, and they
it was one of those things where, man, it was great. I mean, in theory, it was great to have that raise and have the money.
Yeah, but
by the time you factored the insurance in, it raising, you essentially, you know, you still had money, but you had less of what you actually did.
Yeah, you're still barely breaking even.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know what you're saying about the slippery slope. I'm one of the, I kind of agree with Josh though. Like, just like, I just don't think it should be that steep of a drop. And it's one of those things for me where it's like, you know, I wouldn't want this whole thing that we're discussing to punish anyone. I mean, I don't think it should be to punish anyone, but you know, I think you're right though. Like, it's, there's going to be a lot of these little slippery slopes, you know, that you're going to encounter, you know?
Yeah, I think that's one reason why we don't have like a lot of, we have a lot of companies from the U.S. moving their main headquarters out of the country, because we have such a high corporate tax rate, you know, like 33%, 50%, and other countries are only paying like 4 or 5%. So it's weird. Like, if you tax everyone at, say, 10%, a guy that makes $100 a week, he's paying $10 a week in taxes. That doesn't seem all that much. You got a guy that's, you know, making $100 million a week, and he's paying $10 million then a week. So that's, I think, like, just a set amount. That way, because if you like start making more money, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got a raise, shit, I'm up in a new tax bracket, I'm making less than before, it makes people not want to work as hard and not work as much, and then you discourage the, you know, the Steve Jobs and the fucking Bill Gates, you know, these people that, you know, could make those billions of dollars, but they're also bringing all this shit that people really want and really need.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, no. I mean, I actually think what you suggested was pretty good, because like that might be another sort of way to you know, rectify or solve that situation would be maybe have it be like a flat
flat tax.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just as long as those institutions that want to have the right to do other things are getting, you know, let's just say for the sake of agreeing, like, fairly taxed, you know, then that sort of means that everyone gets to contribute to the betterment of, like, social programs. Now, I realize with saying that, though, that, like, it's one of those things where even this pokes into the other parts of what we deal with in America anyways. Like, there's a lot of sort of social programs that are broken. Mm-hmm. There's like, outside of the tax situation kind of being broken, there's you know, this would be one sort of suggestion and reform on a line full of tons and tons and tons of reform. Because right now it's just, you know, up and down every little way you go for every type of thing, you know?
If it can't be implemented that churches get taxed because of their being a religion, you know, being a religious organization and not, you know, falling under the whole, like, being a service that you need, otherwise the government would have to fulfill, then wouldn't a sort of a middle ground, I guess you could call it, would be like having a church pay a tax if they plan on getting involved in politics.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah.
What about
supporting the Republican candidate for whatever your state or city or whatever municipality you're in?
Yeah.
It's, okay, well, if you're going to support this guy's campaign this year,
but then you got to trust him not to do that. I don't trust the government. I'm not going to trust churches.
That's what I'm saying. It would be just so damn hard to implement because it's been the same way for 200 years.
What about this? The people, you know how when you get your 401k taken out of your checks, it's taken out before taxes, along with your what's it called? Your the shit you throw in for your medical bills.
Your
FICA?
No, your insurance.
So like your Social Security. Like,
the what?
No, you can spend it on, like, you know, medicine or Band-Aids, whatever. Like,
like your HSA?
Yeah, HSA. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. All that shit's taken out before taxes. So how about if we tax churches, anything we give to the church is not taxed.
Okay.
Like, yeah, if we have to have a form that we keep track of when we go drop money in the collection plate.
Or you could do a direct deposit like you do your 401k or your HSA, where, you know, every week I'm going to donate $20 out of my check to, you know, my Unitarian like church.
Yeah, and all the, and they have an account set up to receive that kind of money, and it reports how much, who gives that. Yeah.
Yep. And that way I don't pay taxes on it. It gives me a little bit more in my pocket come tax time, because, you know, everyone's happy when they get tax money back, but that's basically like you gave a loan to someone with no interest.
Yeah, and then, and the con, though, is people are going to be like, well, that'll let people know how much churches are making, which is sort of their secret to keep if they're not paying taxes on a regular basis.
But if they are paying taxes, then everyone's going to know what they're making.
Yeah,
yeah, true, true.
So it is a very tumultuous, it's a very weird topic.
Yeah, the one main anti-taxation point that I saw was if you start taxing churches, that gives the government permission to basically tell religions how to operate. And yeah, that's the whole separation of church and state, yeah. And now the government is controlling religion. Instead of religion controlling government, which sometimes it does.
Yeah. I think that's in the past. That's kind of what's rubbed me wrong. Is like whenever Bush Jr., whenever W was in office, he had that whole like faith-based initiatives stuff. Yeah. And I was like, no, this is supposed to be separate. Like, you know, I felt even more strongly about the whole separation of church and state at that point in time. You know, and I was like, wait, no, hold on. How can you be putting money into something that's supposed to be separate from you? You know.
Yeah.
But
I think every president has done that. I know Obama did too.
Yeah.
I don't know about Trump. I don't really pay attention to him at all. I gave up on politics a while ago.
Yeah. We've kind of hit the same wall. We're I'm like, there's a funny little meme online that I've seen, and I thought you might find it kind of funny. It's this little thing that says, Republicans are red and Democrats are blue and neither of them give a fuck about you.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where it's like, do I vote for the Republican that's going to blast me in the ass or the Democrat that's going to blast me in the ass?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it just kind of came to a, like, I just, ever since this hurricane shit's hit, like, people are like, oh, he's down there helping out. He's helping people directly. He's not helping people directly. He's standing there. People are telling him what the government's doing to help them, and then he's taking it as his own stories. And
didn't he? I thought he donated some of his own money. I thought I saw that as a headline.
He was, and now he's not ish.
Oh,
he's floundering on it. It's weird.
He's got to see how much taxes, what kind of tax break he can get off of it first.
Of course. Well, yeah. It's a charitable organization. Yes.
He has a really bad habit, but we've noticed this isn't just trying to blast him or not, but I'm just going to say this real quick. You told me about this. Like, he has this really bad habit of, like, everything that happens, like whether it's something bad that happens, something good that happens, he always has to tie it back in around to him.
Oh yeah, it's because he's a narcissist.
Thing that's happening, yeah.
Well, it just kind of came to a head with me whenever the people are like, "Well, where was Obama whenever Katrina hit?" It's like he wasn't even president, so he was probably, you know, being a senator in Illinois still, I suppose. You know.
Oh yeah, just goes to show. Thanks, Obama. You didn't even become president yet. Come on.
Yeah. You had to wait 3 years. Jeez,
yeah, dude. Lazy bastard.
Have you seen that video that he made before he left office where he was poking fun at himself for that?
No.
BuzzFeed.
Oh, it's BuzzFeed?
Yeah.
You've got to check it out sometime. It's hilarious. Like, by the end of the video, there's something he's trying to do in a mirror, and he can't do it. And he looks at it, and he goes, thanks a lot, Obama.
But, I mean, he took it in stride. But
Yeah,
I don't know. Politics and religion getting in bed together is a very it's a bad thing. It always ends up bad. It always, you know, like whenever, like even back during like the Roman times when Alexander made the Holy Roman Church or whatever it was, that was just like, well, you just gave pastors carte blanche to do whatever they want at the defense of the government, with the defense of the government, you know, behind them.
Kind of gave them powers to be dictators, really.
Basically, they were like little tiny kings. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, and in this day and age, you can't, if you do that, people will, you know, you give them an inch and they will take 10,000 miles.
So, that just made me think, how do you tax Catholic churches then? Because the Vatican is basically like its own country.
Yeah.
Like, how do you tax another country?
Ask Italy. But I mean, I guess Italy taxes the church.
Do they?
That's one on the list of countries that tax churches.
Wow.
So I mean, I don't know. That's I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I mean, the Vatican is basically its own fucking country. It's huge. Oh,
and it's a 12 mile wide country. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like got diamonds for floors and shit.
Yeah. While you're looking that up, I was going to tell you, Sean, earlier, like whenever we were talking, and you'd said that like that you weren't going to argue with us. Like I was going to tell you, we weren't taking it that way because it was one of those things where like I love an exchange of opinions.
Yeah, for sure.
I love banter, and I think that's one of the things we kind of enjoy with you guys is that we always have fun. We always kind of fun. You know, bantering back and forth. So, I mean, you're not going to really catch me and Josh getting heated about much. Our temperaments don't really lend us towards that, you know?
Yeah. You know, I just said that just, you know, for people listening. And yeah. Kiri accuses me of it all the time. She thinks I'm being argumentative when I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate. I'm totally the devil's advocate.
Oh, yeah. No. I totally agree with that, too.
Because that shows that you're thinking about both sides of the issue.
Yeah, for sure. I think everyone should do that because, honestly, there's three sides to every story. You know, there's his side, her side, and the right side.
And the truth, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I'm not seeing anything that says that they will, but apparently from, like, 2015, they were talking about they were thinking about taxing the Catholic Church in Italy back then, and then they struck a deal on financial transparency. So I guess Italy knows how much the church makes or something, but then they still won't have to pay taxes to them. I don't understand it. It's different in every country, of course. So
yeah,
it's I kind of think like what you said earlier does tend to make sense. Like it's one of those things where it's not really a sort of one size fits all type thing.
Yeah,
it
for
really
sure.
would have to be. Yeah, because.
But then that also gets, you know, even more slippery because then you have the government deciding like, okay, we're going to tax mega church this, little church that. Then we have this woman's shelter that we have to tax now because we have to tax all nonprofits because they are bringing in money. And how do we tax the Clinton Foundation? And how do we tax, you know, XYZ over here? And it's the government deciding each one of those things. And that's really slippery.
And that gives them a lot of power. And it also would make it so they'd have to pay more people to do that. Mm-hmm. They'd have to have accountants or caseworkers, or we can call them, just to do those individualized things.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So you know, like you know, here Johnson, you have this church and this. You know, it'd be like, I think that there would probably end up being a shortage of tax auditors. I guess.
Oh yeah, for sure. The IRS would fucking.
Because like there's already like if you think about the justice system, public defenders. Think about how many cases they deal with a day. That's like tens of thousands more than a private lawyer would.
Yeah.
So if you think about, you know, a private accountant taking whatever, you know, whatever he wants to do versus being assigned the work and being swamped as an accountant.
Yeah, for sure.
As an auditor. So that would, you know, there'd probably be a rise in the suicide rate of tax auditors too.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be that bad, honestly.
Was it the whole, like, what do you call 10,000 lawyers chained together at the bottom of the ocean?
A good start.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those countries you listed it that actually taxes churches. I don't remember which one it was, but I remember hearing about a country that on your tax return form, it actually lists what all your tax money got spent on. Like, you know, 10% got spent on military, 7% on the roads.
That's probably Denmark or Sweden.
Yeah.
One of those utopian type countries. You know?
One of those countries small enough where you can actually do that.
Oh, yeah, because, well, I mean, if you think about it, like this Denmark, Sweden, Finland, all the Nordic countries, they've been around like sort of the longest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they've had time to evolve into this kind of thing and, you know, making it so that, and everybody there is really laid back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really. So you never hear of like, oh, there's a protest in Denmark killed 15 people. No, it's a protest in Denmark led to shouting.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know?
Yeah, they're like the extreme Canadians, extremely nice Canadians.
I kind of feel like it's a trade-off, like when it comes to like with what Josh was saying about what you and Josh are saying about Denmark. It's weird. It's like there are so many things in terms of a spectrum. There are so many things that like America does well, and you know we've achieved an awful lot in a very very short time as a nation because of being like a melting pot, right?
We are so young.
Yeah,
we're babies.
We're like less than 300 years actually, right?
And we somehow got in charge of the world.
Yeah.
Damn right, America.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's these other countries that are like centuries old, right?
Yeah.
Like while I think there's things that we do great. Part of me almost kind of wishes that I could go, you know, I get it. You're tops on this thing and that thing. I wouldn't say this to America. You're tops on this thing and that thing. I'm like, but look at some of these other places and learn from what they're doing. Like, don't be so afraid to be socialized on some things.
To be globalized on something.
To be globalized on something.
Yeah, for sure.
Like there's some things that I think America could benefit from. I'm not saying give up your identity, you know, that type of thing, you know. But you know, be willing to admit that, you know, there's something there's a reason why some things are working in Denmark, right? You know, and like, not working
like,
over here.
No, they have like I think it's where is it that they have all the pot? Is it?
I think it's the Netherlands.
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, yeah, that's in the Netherlands. Yeah. So the Netherlands. Yeah, their pot is legal and all this, and they have the pot bars and all this. But you know what else they have to keep for other drug addicts? They have like heroin clinics where if somebody needs a fix of heroin or amphetamines or something, you can just walk in, say that, hey, I'm addicted to this drug and I can't afford it. I need my fix. They'll give you enough to get your fix, let you stay there until your high runs down or whatever, till you're calm again, and you know you're back to a functioning member of society, and you don't pay for it.
They let you get high for free and then stay there until you're not high anymore.
Until you're stable again, because a lot of people will come in just like tweaking.
Yeah,
just,
that's what I was going to ask. Not,
so, going through all kinds of withdrawals.
So it's like a detox.
It's sort of a retox, I guess. It helps. You know, I think that if you keep going to them, they'll start trying to get you to quit.
Okay.
But you have to go there a certain amount of time.
Instead of attacking you for it, they try to reach through you by saying, we don't want to harshly stop you from this and cause you to die that way.
Yeah.
We want to sort of, like, we want to extend ourselves instead of judging you and pushing you away.
Is
that type of thing.
Is heroin legal over there?
I don't think that it is.
Okay.
So I think the illegal drug you're doing, they have those clinics for that.
Okay.
Because they're not going to, you know, I don't think they make it so that you have to have your ID with you or whatever when you're there.
Yeah.
If you choose to give it to them, that's fine. But I they won't. You know, they won't say, hey, we got this guy's tweaking out on crack here.
Mm-hmm.
Cops come take. No, they'll try to help you through it without getting some sort of police involvement going on or some sort of like persecution of, you know, because you were, you know, because you got addicted to a drug. You know, that's a lot of, they had that idea of like, you couldn't help this. You can't help what you're going through now because the drug has an attachment to you and you have an attachment to
you. Yeah,
so
and yes,
we're going to try to make it so that you can either stay on the habit and, you know, whatever happens to you, but we don't want you causing trouble and, you know, killing a hooker for her money or something, you know, or robbing someone.
Well, it's sort of like, instead of degrading you and getting angry at you,
and it takes,
to do that is like beating a dead horse. Right?
And it takes the catalyst for crime away. And that's another reason their crime rates are low there.
Yeah. I think that it's definitely a problem in the United States, whether it's, you know, drugs or mental health issues where we're too quick to punish and incarcerate. Let me ask you guys, how do you feel about legalizing all drugs?
Go ahead, you first.
Marijuana is fine. Drugs that like people get addicted to, like amphetamines and meth and things like that, that, you know, cause you can't, I'm sorry, but I'm not convinced by anyone who says you can get addicted to pot. You can't.
You need the munchies.
No, seriously. You get high and it feels good to have that high, but you can't. You don't need it.
Well, what do you mean by addicted? Because I've known people that smoke pot every night, and if they go a week, like every single night that they don't smoke, they're a cranky, crabby fucking asshole.
But that's the real them.
Well, isn't that an addiction though? Like they're cranky because they're not having that high.
It's how they cope. It's a coping mechanism. It's not an addiction. If they stop, they're still a functioning member of society. They're just an asshole.
Yeah.
You know. So there's that. You know, it's just their attitude thing. It's a mood booster, if you will. It's like taking melatonin if you want to chill. You know what I mean? It's like that. It's an herbal thing.
Yeah.
But so like, and people who say like, I can't get through my day without pot. Try it. You can do it. It's cool.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not going to debilitate you.
Yeah. You still function, but
you're not going to get the shakes.
A little on edge. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like. But and the whole gateway thing, it's not pot's not a gateway drug.
No, for sure.
So the whole like if I have weird feelings about it because it's like yes, if the government has control over all illegal drugs, what will happen is in some instances in the most harsh conditions, yes, new drugs will be made that are harsher and more fucked up,
like Crocodile. And...
Yeah, but most sensible people will go, you know, I really don't feel like dying today.
Yeah,
just for a super duper high.
Yeah, I really don't think so, it's hard to.
Yeah, so whenever the government, if they buy all drugs, like all illegal drugs.
Yeah, you know, heroin, crack, coke, meth, everything.
Just anything that's a Title I kind of thing where it's.
Well, isn't marijuana the title woman.
Okay,
that's where it's unfairly.
Yeah, that's categorized.
Yeah.
I think schedule one, and then like cocaine or heroin is like a schedule two, and that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, where it is the highest, you know, because it goes, you know, the lower the number, the higher the on the tier they are. So.
But then you got like DMT, which is naturally made in your body. It's just enhanced with a plant like weed, and that's right up there too.
Have you ever heard of a drug called ayahuasca?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, oh, did you know there's actually? I don't know if you knew this or not, but do you know there's actually an ayahuasca church in America?
No.
Yeah, there is. Like they've got approved by the government the government overall, like Supreme Court wise, but also in the states which they live, that since it's part of like a religious thing, they're allowed to do it. So like you could be someone who uses ayahuasca and goes to that church, and you can't get prosecuted for it
as long as you can prove that you're a member of the church.
Well, yeah. It's basically like Native Americans; they can do whatever the fuck they want on their reservations because they're not actually from America. They have their own country inside of our country.
Yeah.
So.
Peyote. Yeah, it's if you're a member of the Sioux Indians, I think the Sioux in the southeast, southwest.
Yeah. Yeah, like Navajo Sioux.
Navajo. Sorry, if you're a member of the Navajo Nation and you're caught doing peyote, you can just say, "Hey, I'm a member of the Navajo Nation and I'm going on a spirit quest."
Yeah, for sure.
You're off the hook. But anyways, so like if the government's in charge of dealing out these drugs, for lack of a better term, then you. That I don't see as a problem per se. Is it may increase the crime rate, or it may make it so that drug cartels are doing all this reach, because you know, since they're not cracking down on pot so much anymore, there's now a heroin epidemic.
Well,
because
the cartel's not making money off pot anymore. Yeah. So many states are going legal with it.
Yeah, so there's that problem right there rearing its ugly head. But if you were to just snap boom do it all at once, you might see a better. Okay. If Reagan did this during his war on drugs bullshit in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
instead of just throwing every pot smoker in jail, if you know, we would have caught the drug cartel guy, the one that got the show about.
El Chapo?
Pablo Escobar. Escobar. And who the other guy?
El Chapo?
Yeah. They would have caught El Chapo in no time.
Yeah.
I mean, there wouldn't be some dramatic story about how
he also would have
been a father or whatever.
It also would have slowed. I'm not saying it would have stopped, but it would have slowed down the rise of, of like some of the drug involvement from like the Aryan Nation, because that they got involved in that in prison. And then also, I can't remember the name of that. There's a Mexican gang that is heavily involved in that.
Oh, they got a number for a name, right?
Yeah.
Like 21 or 22.
It's not like a CSI. It was Malinoche, but it's not Malinoche. It's oh my god!
You said a Mexican gang?
Yeah, it's a Mexican gang.
There's a number for it.
Yeah, it is. It's like
Dos. 30.
It's oh, what is it? not 18th Street Gang. Not Familia. Not Latin Kings. Oh my god! Signola Corp.
Salvatrucha. Salvatrucha. Something Salvatrucha.
So you guys don't think that basically, if you make all drugs legal, yeah, you might have a big boom of instant deaths of people just going crazy, but then, you know, like after that initial spike, it would kind of peak off, and you know, kind of like, you know, when we legalized weed, nothing really bad happened. You know, people made a shitload of money. The DUI deaths went way down. People stopped drinking because all they're doing is smoking pot. Like, if we make everything else legal, like, might have an initial death and spike or spike in deaths, but that's kind of Darwinism anyway. Like, those people are probably going to die, you know, but.
Well, the people that didn't want the help, you know, getting off of it. Yeah.
It's kind of funny you should ask that, because it's like, I had a conversation with Josh about this, like, it's been a few months back, but the problem I have with the drug thing, like, I kind of agree with, like, what you guys are saying, like, it'll, there'll be some initial spike in some things, right, you know, but then initially later on it'll be a good thing. I am of the opinion that, you know, even though, we lost our mom to some drug use and stuff, right,
mm-hmm.
I have this opinion that like the more prohibitive that you make something, the more there's a demand for it.
Yeah.
So if you take away that prohibition for it and you make it easily attainable, then, you know, yeah, there's going to be some idiots like you said that are going to try to do other things to get other stuff onto there.
Yeah.
But if
you build a better mousetrap.
Yeah. But if you can go down to the store and buy I'm just giving an example. If you can go down to the store and buy like your favorite pack of marijuana, then why are you going to go to a dealer?
Exactly. Yeah.
If it's at a fair price instead of a slightly pretty place. Because, again, the game we're talking about was MS-13.
Yeah, Mara Salvatrucha.
That's the Mexican game. So the whole thing of like if the government gets a hold of it and they're in charge of dealing it out and meeting it out, whatever, they would make it more affordable for the people who are addicted to the drug to sort of pull them away from their dealers and pull them away from the drug cartels.
Because they're getting money anyways.
Now you're going to have those mid-level dealers start little gang wars and stuff in their little tiny local gangs, which will sort of trickle up to the bigger gangs, and that'll cause a sort of a war in that respect, yes. And like you said, the initial deaths would spike. But, it would sort of...
Even out eventually.
It would even out in the wash kind of thing. People would die, but they would all be bad people anyway.
And if you made it all legal, and then, you have these dispensaries where you can buy your heroin or your crack or your weed or whatever, that's also getting taxed. So they're, we're taxing religion and we're taxing drugs because they're both legal. You can do them both if you want to. If you don't do them. But if you are, you're paying taxes, and that's going towards our, gazillion-dollar debt.
Yeah. And if you, if your little tiny church wants a nice road instead of a dirt road to get up to it, your churches will supply that basically.
Yeah,
so because they'd be able to request the local government, say, hey, can you guys pour a street to our church? That kind of thing. Instead of going, well, we'd like to have a street going to our church, but since I inherited that church from my granddaddy back in 1865, there's always been just a regular old trail walking up to her.
You could have that while. Instead of it not happening, and you seeing Joel Osteen go, oh well, which Lamborghini am I taking out this weekend? That's just like I see. It's really not fair.
For being the leader of a big church, his humility is like at an all time low.
Yeah,
he's not a humble person by any stretch of the imagination. You know why he's humble? Because he's comfortable.
Yeah,
because he's got money to he can afford to be.
I don't know. I think the tax thing does need to change, but part of me thinks it's got to be the libertarian in me. Like, yeah, he's worth all this money. He has all these Lamborghinis, but that's because he did something to get it. I think he did. I don't know if he inherited all this shit like Trump did or whatever, but like all these people that make this much did something to get that. So should they be punished for getting more?
Well, okay. So what they earned. I mean, what do you consider earning something? No, that's where that falls to. It's like if you.
Well, did the Kardashians earn their money?
No, they sit back and their bank rolls it over in investments.
that's earning it, right? Wall Street guys are buying stock. I don't understand all that shit, but they pick a fucking company, and next thing you know, they got $1 million.
The only reason the Kardashians even had anything is because of their dead father.
Because
their
dead
father. The sex tape.
A player. Well, that was
RJ or Ray J. Yeah, Ray J.
But I have a feeling the Kardashians. I have a thing against the Kardashians because they took away my favorite channel by having that stupid show.
What, E?
Because MTV stopped showing music when they started that reality bullshit. Anyway, but so it's like if you earn it, yes, if you work hard and you earn it, you've like literally put your blood, sweat, and tears into a thing, that to me is earning it, because that's that's the way I've earned my money for as long as I've been alive.
Yeah, me too.
So, I can understand that, but if you were just lucky enough to be born into it, that's not earning money. That's just, being smart with how you spend it.
Yeah. And
making good investments. That's being able to actually make an investment. I mean, do you own stocks? I don't own any stocks.
Like, no, I don't.
Any bonds, any stocks?
I don't. I mean,
yeah, it's like, I mean, wanted to. You always hear about how the stock market is good to those who invest well. And it's like, yes, but there's such a high end risky buy in.
Well, it's fucked up here. I think I do own stock because my 401k depends on the stock market.
But see, again, though, that was set up by the company you work for.
Yeah.
To do just that, so that it would sort of give the 401k thing was the idea was to give the blue collar workers and things like that a sort of a foot into that kind of work.
I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, if not, how would
I thought it was so the company could make more money and they could give me a little bit of it. I had no idea.
It's profit sharing. Actually, it's kind of weird. With Josh, the money that he has, like, I have my money for retirement is put into, I'm trying to remember the name of it.
IRA?
IAA crap?
No. It's like IU pension. Like, not IU pension, like
Indiana. Oh, pension, okay.
Oh, what's this called? The IU Retired Workers Association or something like that.
Yeah, but
or Indiana Union.
It's via the state, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, all right. However, like,
the state has its own fund for people who work as a state employee at the end of their job.
Yeah. Now, however, though, like, a lot of the new hires that they have out here, like you and some of these other people, they have different options now for
I'm grandfathered in because I worked at the university before.
Okay. Well, as I was going to tell Sean is that like for example, when I got hired in, I got like they've shifted things out at IU to where they're using temp agencies to get the newer employees in, right?
Yeah, they hire them with a temp agency, and then a few months later, they'll say, okay, well, you've been working with us long enough. We'd like to keep you. Here's your appointment.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to not have to go through all that craziness, and I got in before, right?
Literally
got in
before.
And however, though, the thing is like, it takes me 10 years to become vested where I'm at, right?
Okay.
Like with you, that's what I forgot to tell you too, Josh. Like, with you, it would only, with the way they've got things set up for the retirement for, like, the union hires, it's only going to take you guys, like, three or because, well, I know, jerk.
Yeah.
Because, like, they invest your money differently than they invested ours.
Yeah. Well, they invested it.
Perf.
Perf. Public Employees Retirement Fund.
Yeah, like I can't grab mine right away. Like, you can grab yours. There'll be a penalty, but it's not steep.
Yeah.
You can grab yours. I can't. Like, I absolutely can't. If I grab any part of mine, poof, out from underneath me. It's I want to strangle it sometimes. But, I mean, I'm glad for what I have, though. Don't get me wrong.
So yeah, I mean, if they
yeah, I worked at Delphi here in Milwaukee, which for people that don't know, they made most of the circuit boards and shit for GM, and they closed down shit like 8 years ago, 9 years ago. No, it was before that because before I met Carrie, so like 10 years ago, they closed their big plant here in Oak Creek. Like, my mom retired from there, and I transferred down to Kokomo, Indiana, where the headquarters is for a year, but basically, yeah, my mom worked there for 25, 26 years, part of the UAW, the Automotive Union.
And Automotive Workers, yeah.
Yeah. They had some of the legacy people still working there, making their, I don't know, 30-some bucks an hour. And they brought in all new people, basically all the kids of the employees, to work there to make 15, 16 bucks an hour, which when you're a 20-something-year-old kid, that's back then it was good money. And it was... like, they're paying all these legacy people. Like, my mom got paid to sit home, her normal wage, to sit home and do nothing. And she kept collecting her insurance and kept collecting everything, her benefits, until basically it all went under.
And, even time off.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, I was like, this is fucking crazy. Like, this company's barely staying afloat, and the union is, like, just throwing money everywhere. And eventually it's like, poof, all gone. Now we have a Myers there and a Woodman's and fucking Jimmy John's, and everything's just completely gone.
Our union at, like, not
that's
not
why RCA left.
I was gonna say, like, our union down here, like, IU wise, is useless.
Well, no, they're bloodthirsty when they want to be bloodthirsty. Otherwise, they just kind of stand around and watch things happen.
Yeah.
RCA used to be here in town. That's where our granddad and our mom worked Mexico. For a long time. And, you know, when they got bought by Thompson Consumer Electronics or changed their name or whatever it was, they moved to Mexico. And a big reason was that because the union was getting their workers, even the retired workers, such good money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was draining the company.
Yeah, it got way too greedy for its own good, in my opinion.
Yeah. Here's a little sort of odd fact along the lines of what we're talking about. Like, only just recently, they do.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Even just recently, out where we work, in terms of like Big Ten schools, like building service wise, custodian wise, previously we were like at the very bottom of the Big Ten in what they paid their workers and everything. So it was really sort of like, I'm not gonna say deplorable, but it wasn't really too impressive, you know. Every time they tried to in their horn, right? Well,
when your local community college's janitors get paid like twice the amount that you get paid, that's a little disconcerting.
Well, yeah, for sure. And so now, to cover his butt, the president of our university has been like, okay, everyone that gets hired in, whether you're temp or not, you know, you eventually get appointed. It was it by 2018?
20.
By 2020, he wants all of us to make $15 an hour. And the thing that kind of annoys me is that, like, before that, he had been, like, I've been there for 6 years. He has been dragging his feet forever. And a lot of us are like, okay, you know, whenever there's someone just a state away, like Illinois, and I understand the whole cost of living thing. I get that, right? But when there's someone a state away from us that's making almost twice, maybe even three times as much to do the same things that we're doing.
Yeah, the same job.
Yeah, you're going to have people complaining, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And the fact that since the university is the lifeblood of this town, since they sort of like they run things whenever the students are in town, literally our city's population drops by almost two-thirds.
Yeah.
It drops by quite a bit whenever the students are gone for the summertime.
You can actually...
Yeah, you can get around town pretty quick in the summertime. But no, it's like since they have such a big stake in the town, and you know, since our big industry that made us a town was at one time limestone,
now
it fell to Bedford. Bedford is sort of dying too because their limestone's drying up. You know, our big claim to fame was like, oh, a lot of limestone that went to the Empire State Building was mined right here in Indiana, yada yada yada, and right here in Bloomington. Anyway, so you got rocks out of our ground and put it in your ground. Since they have such a big stake, people like rely on the university that way. So the university is really fucking rich.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Like, if you look at the tuition fees, they've just steadily gone up over the last couple of decades just because they can.
I don't
want to come to IU because they have a really good business school.
Yeah. I don't, you know? I don't know if it's the same up there. Like,
really shitty football team.
What's the actual town that you guys are in? I'm sorry.
Well, we live in Mount Pleasant. It's like 15 minutes south of Milwaukee. Like, okay. I used to, like, University of Milwaukee, the UWM. Is our big school besides Madison, which is our capital.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I deliver there multiple times. GJ actually went to school there for a while. Carrie graduated from University of Milwaukee.
Awesome. All right, the reason I'm asking that is because, like, down here, every once in a while, I don't know if it's the same thing up there, but, like, down here, like what you said about making the money, Josh, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's money that they get that's earmarked for certain things, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's money outside of that that's just being donated to them, being given to them,
grants
and will, kind of right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're talking like huge amounts of money, you know, being given to the university. Every once in a while, you can smell the bullshit in the air because there will be a article in the newspaper where someone's talking about how the university is having trouble with money. It's like, no, they're not having trouble with money. They have issues with appropriating the money the right way. You know,
yeah.
But they don't have trouble with money. It's not like they're hemorrhaging anything.
Yeah,
especially whenever you can't give your employees like a raise,
but you can pay your football coaches tens of millions of dollars a year
and put up tons of buildings in a year.
You have a contract with the coaches you fired to keep paying them those tens of millions of dollars a year.
See, right now where we live, Bloomington wise, we're kind of having this issue where you know, a lot of people that live here, I mean townies if you want to call them that. You know, we don't have a problem that the university is here. It's great because it actually does help provide money.
And right now it pays my bills, so I'm not going to say a bad thing.
Oh, yeah. But the flip side to that is rent is egregiously high.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to.
Every time you turn around.
Since there's such a high stake in this town and since they make tons and tons of money, you'd think that the major metropolitan area in Indiana, which would be Indianapolis or Fort Wayne or one of those big cities, you'd think that they would be the higher cost of living place. Bloomington has the highest cost of living in Indiana.
In the whole state.
In the entire state. So
is Bloomington like in the southern part of the state?
It's 50 miles southwestish of Indianapolis.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And the ironic thing is like anytime something new is built, like and this is what builds the sort of like there's goodwill and badwill. This is what builds up the sort of anger about it. Because everything that's built in this town basically usually gets geared towards students. Like,
yeah, and it's always outside agents. Like people from different like development companies come in. And they say, we want to buy this up. Like, they had a bunch of old, like, quarry land that they had filled in. And, you know, they made sure that it sat enough so that sinkholes wouldn't happen and stuff. So this used to be this Rogers Quarry where it was, you know, this big hole in the middle of the ground right through the middle of town. You know, one side is one main street and the other side of it is another main street. And there's this big hole. Now it's been filled in. And there are all these, like, it looks – have you ever seen Cape Cod? You know how they have all those nice houses lined up by the bay?
Yeah.
You know, or San Francisco, where they have
like
those
gentrified.
Where they're just sort of like,
yeah,
just real, just a one continuous building, but they all look like separate houses because they're a different color.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They look like that. And it's like, this, first of all, looks very out of place for the area it's in.
Yeah.
Two, how much do you think that you pay for rent per month there?
Yeah. No, you don't pay for the entire apartment. You pay per bedroom upwards of like $700 a month for a bedroom.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And they'll get away with doing that. And part of the problem is not to go way off topic. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
But part of the problem is the issue that we're facing in town nowadays, and some people end up taking it like they think that people are just randomly finding reasons to get angry at some of the students. It's that like these people who come here, and not all of them, like, but these people who come here.
The students that come here.
That some of them only live like here half of the year, right? Mm-hmm. They take a lot of stuff gets catered to them, and like a lot of stuff in town that should be, you know, you should also take care of your town. A lot of that stuff kind of gets ignored. So you've got these people that are working to provide a town that these people come to get an education in, and they can't afford to live in the same place that they're working their butt off to provide for those kids. You know what I'm saying?
Over half of the staff at IU, at least, I've got to say at least half.
Yeah.
All of them, they commute from either Spencer, which is a town about 15 miles or so outside of our town, and then Bedford, which is like a half an hour drive from here, or what's the place? Martinsville.
Yeah,
Martinsville, which is halfway between us and Indianapolis.
There's a few that do in Annapolis. A few.
And there are a few that live in Indianapolis and commute down here just because the money's good at the university, because, you know, they're in a high enough position that they can afford to do that, I guess.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people that work there don't live there.
So there's just like friction between like townies and students, basically. So
right? It sounds basically like Cancun. Cancun has, a giant tourist population, but everything in that town is dedicated towards the tourists. And meanwhile, all the staff and all the workers, they live on the outskirts of town in, you know, shitty little dilapidated villages.
Like last episode. I listened to that. With the whole Jose and Jose Villa. I enjoyed that.
I didn't catch that episode. Sorry.
That's okay.
I have a coworker that constantly bitches about everything. So
yeah,
I couldn't listen to it at work.
I was listening to that while I was working, and I cackled out loud, and I had to like stop and explain to my friends. I was like, it's these people we've befriended online. I'm like, they're just bringing up a very good point. And it was just, it was funny. It's like,
if your cost of living is super high, and then you get like, there are a couple of bigger churches in our town.
Yeah.
Just swing it back around here. That do sort of provide a good service, like First United Methodist with their Shalom House or Shalom, what is it?
The Shalom Center.
Shalom Center. Basically, they help homeless people and people.
There's
who
some
are
very
poor.
Socially minded churches. In
yeah, because yeah. because our the government in our town is, you know, since even though we're a red state, our government is very centered but leftist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Bloomington is also, no, before you say this, mm-hmm. Rebecca, Bloomington is also, that's another thing too, Sean, a little bit of information that can. What we can kind of give you too is Bloomington, outside of these issues that we're facing, we're very homeless friendly.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing here.
Yeah.
So places like the Shalom Center help a lot of homeless people find housing, and we have an area in town that's called the Hill where a lot of it's all literally the entire area, which is like four square blocks, is all just apartments for people who, you know, can't pay a full month's rent because they're poor enough to not be able to, or disabled, or you know, that kind of thing.
Any number of reasons.
Yeah, the government has deemed them able to be on the government's paycheck for paying for a house, which is good if you're working toward getting out of that. But then there, you know, there are certain people
that abuse it.
Yeah. So, but that's in any government funded thing.
Yeah.
So
sure.
they have all this help for homeless people, but there have been judges in town where like we get shipped. Like we've become sort of like Skid Row or where is it in Colorado they send people? Boulder or something like that.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a ton of homeless people in Boulder that got shipped there from California. Mm-hmm. Well, we get shipped them from India. The judges say, here's a bus ticket. You go to Bloomington. They'll help you out there. Then
we get a lot of people from Gary and stuff
from Indianapolis. No, Gary wants to go to the Hill.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so they'll like, and we don't have like a real gang problem in our town.
No.
So anyways, they'll get shipped from Indianapolis to Bloomington, and then the Bloomington judges, when they've had enough of the like real shitty homeless people who don't want the help and they don't care about being homeless and they just want to drink and drug up and shit like that, they'll send them to Boulder.
Oh,
really? Yeah. We will mass ship homeless people to Boulder because it looks bad for the town.
Yeah.
it looks bad because they don't want some student becoming the next Jill Bearman or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is a lady that got killed and disappeared. Oh. And didn't find her body until what?
Yeah, actually,
decades later, even though they were looking for somebody else.
Yeah, I actually knew her brother.
Who's the other one that disappeared?
There was someone Jill Bearman, and then there was why don't you go and check it while we're talking?
That's okay.
She'll
never be found anyway.
Yeah, well, she was
no, for real. They never get found because I mean we have there's a Spears. We're in Jill Spears.
No,
that's Jill Bearman.
No, there's
Jill Spears.
Casey Spears.
Casey, yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Anyways, there we have like an area like when somebody goes missing, we're in Monroe County, and then there's a county next to us called Greene County, and Greene County is like the living embodiment of the movie. What's that movie with you got a purty mouth? Deliverance.
Oh, yeah, Deliverance.
It's like the living embodiment of Deliverance. Like there are nothing toothless rednecks living out there in beat up trailers.
Nice.
In the middle of fields that you don't want to get lost in.
Yeah.
We also have coyotes too. Yeah.
And so we got coyotes here too.
Yeah, so it's like, there's like, if you're considered missing, you're done. You're never going to be found.
Yeah.
Unless some psychopath has been, is trying to become the next, great serial killer, and he's got you in his basement, and he's like, fucking you to death or something, Right.
Do you guys have a big meth problem down there?
Yeah, Casey Spears.
Pardon?
Do you guys have a meth problem down by Bloomington?
Yes. Bloomington has sort of become a meth, one of the meth capitals because Greene County, they flushed all the dickweeds out of Greene County, and they're sort of infecting us, basically.
They had a real problem at the beginning of the school year because these parents that were bringing their kids for like visits and stuff, some of these kids would be tripping over people that have started to overdose. They had like, 30 overdoses in 2 weeks?
That was the heroin.
Heroin. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the heroin. Meth has taken a back seat to heroin here in town.
Well, it's kind of weird though because like, you and I were talking about this a few months ago. Like there's the problem that like a lot of people complain too when I-69 they were working on the I-69 highway here.
The big interstate.
Yeah, there's a lot of people are like, well, there's a pipeline of like drugs that come from like Gary and those places down to here via that. And I don't think it's necessarily all that.
Yeah.
But
I think it'd be more Fort Wayne than there because Fort Wayne goes directly to I-69.
Yeah. But we're definitely starting to sort of deal with those things. Yeah. It's a weird place to live.
Yeah. When I went kayaking with my brother TJ when he lived down in Kokomo still. And I forget what river it was on. It was one of the bigger rivers in Indiana. But yeah, you kayak far enough, you can see like, oh yeah, that's where there's a little meth shack right there. Yep.
Yeah.
They're making meth right over there on the side of the river.
What was it, 98 when we moved into the trailer?
Yeah. We actually moved into one. Yeah.
Yeah, we moved into a trailer. This old lady had, she was letting her son live there, and he got arrested and taken away. So she's like, well, this place is it and empty if you guys want
to. This is pretty much the low point in our life.
Yeah. This was the end of high school, family, all the weird shit going on with family. And, so we moved into this like, three-bedroom trailer.
That used to be a meth trailer.
When we first walked in, there was this weird smell in the air, and there was a pan sitting on the stove that had some substance in it. And at the time, we were smart enough and old enough to figure out there was probably drugs being made here. And then we started hearing about what meth was. And so we probably lived in a former meth lab.
Yeah.
And it always had this stuff.
Our bedroom was suspicious in that trailer too. Like just some of the smells from there.
The very back bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird. Well, because I mean, that's where he would like,
It's weird. Like, I don't know. Bloomington is like very, I'll put it to you this way. Like,
it's turned into less bitch about our hometown.
No, well, it has, but I'll tag the church. Fuck Bloomington, I will tell you this right now. Like, it's having, like, I guess a lot of places do. I guess the easiest way I can say it is it's kind of having identity issues. Bloomington is a big town trying to become a small city.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, seriously, I think Bloomington has, like, as a whole, the Bloomington once has aspirations to become a metropolitan area.
Yeah.
Because our buildings literally keep getting higher.
But there's so many people digging their heels in. And I'm not saying that I'm not one of those. But, like, the only things I'm digging in is just, like, the disparity between, like, it's nice and fine that people want to get an education. I'm never going to talk down on that. But, like, you can't shit on the people that live there either. Because they're the reason why those other people can come to there.
We get all these New Jersey jerk-offs that come here. Oh. They own the town because
their parents can come and drop. That's another thing that's outrageous to see is that these parents can come and drop a year's. Some of these really wealthy parents, they can come and drop a year's worth of rent off in these apartments things. And so that's why things like that are part of the reasons why normal people can't get like apartments or houses in this
town. Because they're still being leased or subleased because they've already paid the year's lease and they won't break the lease even though they're getting the money.
Yeah, like during the one visit, not like during over visits. Like these parents will come and drop all that money, boom, all at once.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. It's kind of bad.
It is kind of silly, though. You can't get a decent apartment because somebody's already bought up the cheap apartments.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah, back to religion.
There's no I'm sorry.
Okay.
We tackle the big issues. Now, there's no easy way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like just the state of any kind of politics that you talk about, whether it's, I don't know, name it, whatever. There's going to be 400 different opposing views on every single thing, and I'm not smart enough to figure any of them out.
Oh yeah, I mean neither are we.
But I really do though think that the pros outweigh the cons.
Yeah.
If it were to be implemented correctly and made so that it's not. And so that it doesn't devastate certain religions, and so that it doesn't devastate certain states, and you know, it just makes it so that it's an even keeled, fair shake on it, like other countries have been implementing for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So we just need to sort of put on our big boy pants and say, yes, we do respect religions. We do understand that your belief system is different than others' belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
But you know. You know, you're able to operate and perform your services in our area. Could you at least consider it a donation to your local government or something? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just sort of do it that way and just not let it be an overreach. Just let it be a, hey, you know, since you have 14 acres and there are all these homeless people that need money to get a house, perhaps you could donate some money from your annual picnic or something, you know, something like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, like, I know what you're saying. You want it to kind of be, you know, on equal footing. You want everyone to kind of give their fair share.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be
hard. Maybe instead of the federal government getting involved, it could be left to just the local
state.
Level.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how we handle our, what is this? The state controls the, most of the, like the drug laws and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because that's why like every state gets to pick whether or not they want to legalize marijuana.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so. You know,
well, like with earlier, with what we were saying about religion and stuff, and I guess we kind of come full circle after we quit bitching about our towns.
I'm say a bad thing about his city.
I got plenty.
Oh, you're fine. I hope we didn't bore you to death about the Bloomington stuff.
No, it was really interesting.
He's learning where not to go for his summer vacation.
Yeah, I got no reason to ever go to Indiana again now that TJ's living back up here. So,
well, that's understandable. Like most of us that are here don't want to be here anyways. That's what Indiana's famous for.
Especially Gary. Fuck Gary, Indiana.
What the fuck is a Hoosier anyway, right?
You know? Yeah, it's like, I will say this. Religion-wise, that's one thing at the beginning when we were asking about our backgrounds. That's one thing that I think that agnostics, like you said, you consider yourself agnostic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, as do I, and then Josh considers himself atheist. I think that's one kind of unfair knock that people who are not, like, don't consider themselves directly religious get is that some people are like, oh, well, then that means you don't like religion. I'm like, no, it's not so much that for me. It's just like, if it works for you, man, I am totally behind it. Mm-hmm. If that's what brings you happiness and solace, who am I to tell you what to believe, right? But you know, it's sort of like, just don't cast your stuff down on me, you know? Like I don't want any person, anybody, any entity, anything to suffer, unneedingly, you know? It's not like I would – it's not like I don't think any of us talking, any three of us, you know, wants anyone to suffer, religious or not, you know?
Yeah.
So it cracks me up when some people try to use that as an argument when you even talk about this subject too, you know? They're like, oh, well, you've got a thing against religion. Oh, no, I think religion, for as much as it is a damaging thing, for as much as it has been manipulated,
well,
and for as much as it's been used as a wrong thing too, I also think there's been a great many works and a great many social things done due to religion.
Yeah,
I think religion is wonderful used in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Like wonderful when it's a healing sort of type of thing.
Well, religions have started to be a peaceful thing.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a real religion that has been started, like a real legitimate religion, not some farcical like Scientology bullshit business crap that, you know, like that has said, we want to destroy everything.
Don't speak too loudly about them.
Those are cults and they don't have any place in this.
You know? Josh, don't speak too loudly about the Scientology thing. We'll get Miss Cabbage after us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll send his lawyers.
But no, it's like, so that, you know, yes, if you have a religion and you are using it for the purposes of being peaceful and to educate others on how, not indoctrinate,
yeah,
educate.
Yeah,
not force people to become one of you.
Yeah,
let them come to it on their own.
Yeah,
you know, if that's fine. That's why I'm not like a Dawkins hardcore anti, you know, yeah, religion should be abolished kind of thing. Because
yeah, not all religion is bad.
I'm, you know, this is going to sound very pompous of me, but a lot of people need crutches.
And yeah, for sure.
They, you know, they need religion as a big crutch. That's another reason that's why I don't believe, because I think of religion as being a crutch, and I think of myself as having a pretty strong mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So I don't need that crutch.
But in fairness, so, I will say this though too. It's not me just saying this because you're my brother.
Man, I'm an asshole.
But no. The thing is, it's like, but at least you're open minded enough to admit that about yourself, right? You're willing to say, listen, it's not my cup of tea. This is how I think of it.
Yeah.
But if it works for you, I'm not going to tell you don't believe it. I mean, if you like, if you're a Pastafarian or if you're a Dudist, you know, or whatever, you know, whatever makes you happy, man. Like, Five Ways to Sunday, do what you want to do.
I'm a member of the Church of the Subgenius.
Yeah, just don't be oppressive with people. And I think that even kind of lends itself to what we were saying subject-wise. You know, it's like this whole taxing thing, it doesn't have to be an oppressive thing. It just, there needs to be, it's something that needs to be approached at some level because...
There must be balance in the force.
Yeah, there needs to be a conversation about it, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there has to be something started to get a ball rolling to find a solution to, you know,
yeah,
evangelical mega churches versus small town churches that are actually really trying to help their communities.
Yeah. All three of us lean into the microphone and be like, "Are you listening, Congress?" No, really good. Yeah, we just had a conversation. What about you? You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, that's why I love doing this podcast. That's why I started this podcast out for basically this episode. Like, I'm finally getting guests in, you know, to learn about new shit. Like, I never knew why churches weren't taxed. I didn't know why you should or why you shouldn't tax it. And then you guys were like, oh yeah, I'm a fan of taxing churches. So I looked into it and I learned new shit. And really happy.
Because the whole reason we started the podcast was the whole, you know, the what if is sort of a stepping stone. Like, we want to help people learn more about the world around them instead of just existing.
And then also learn ourselves, too.
And help us learn more about it, too, because, you know, what was it back in the early 2000s when the internet was still in its infancy? I used to read websites full of random facts and stuff, and I could quote you, you know, any weird random fact. But do I know that? Do I really know that?
Yeah.
You know, looking at it helps you get a deeper knowledge of what's going on.
It's kind of weird, but like what you learn when you do podcasting, too, because I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was an episode back. It was like when we were trying to find, we discussed whether babies could exist in space, mm-hmm, right? Like,
born in space.
Yeah, we were all like rip roaring, ready to get into it. We had all this stuff. And when we got out there, we were like, we found out the answer is no. We still went through it in the episode, but we were like, nope.
Shortest podcast ever.
Not current. So it was a lot of filler.
But it was still fun, though. It was still fun, you know.
It's fun to speculate and imagine and learn new shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So now, I mean, I never thought I would have this in my arsenal, but now someone asks me that, I'll be like, hey, about that. You know,
pros and cons, and I've already talked about this for, an hour and a half now?
Yeah.
With other people, yeah. So,
sure.
So, by the way, you can't be born in space.
Yeah.
That type of thing. It's definitely awesome. It's definitely awesome. And we're kind of glad that, you know, you guys got to... We got to be one of you guests with you guys, and you guys got to be kind of like our inaugural guests, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I know we had a blast. I wish TJ and Carrie didn't have to share mics when we did your guys', and I wish they were here to discuss this, but if we would have had two more people here, this would probably be like a five-hour podcast, and that's long even for like Joe Rogan. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think saying this in general, but like, you know, we can put some time in between it again, but like I'm always open to us doing another podcast if you want to.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like we don't have to do it right away because I know you guys have your stuff going on and stuff, but it's nice to talk to people who actually want to think about things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we should do this again world's best talker. But yeah, we should do this again in a few months, like every so often, just, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we could be your like recurring guesties. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We're still trying to get our sort of feet off the ground in this thing, and you know, we do ours every 2 weeks. You guys do yours every week or 2 weeks?
We did ours every week, and then summer hit, and we couldn't get any guests, so it was just me, TJ, and Carrie. So we moved to every 2 weeks. But now, I mean, last Friday we had, you know, four guests on. Last night we had four guests on. Tonight we're doing it with you guys. I got some other guests lined up. It's like now that the cold weather is coming in, like people are like, oh, no more beach, no more festivals to go to. Yeah, I guess I'll go do the podcast.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to promote yourselves? Where to find you on Instagram and Twitter and your webpage?
Well, we don't have an Instagram per se yet, but we do have
Instagram sucks anyway. Don't bother. Yeah, I get like two likes for each fucking picture.
Instagram's good for pictures and videos.
Like my personal Instagram, like Josh, you haven't had too many issues with yours, right?
No.
But like I've had mine hacked 5 different times.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And you can ask him. I'm safe about what I do, so it's not like I'm being careless.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, okay, you know what? No Instagram for me, right?
So you guys are on Twitter, though, and Facebook?
Yeah. I'm getting the information up right now. We actually – it's actually kind of funny you should ask for that because for the first, 10 episodes?
That's still a problem for us.
For the first 10 episodes, like we just never cared to like, write it down. Yeah. So we'd at the end of the thing, we'd be like, we are on – hold on. Give me a second.
Twitter, we're at @podcast_whatif. Facebook, we're at @podcast.whatif. And email if you want to – if anybody wants to talk to us via email, podcast.whatif@gmail.com.
And your webpage?
It's whatif-podcast.com.
Awesome. And you can find us at Facebook and Instagram at Make Me a Fan Podcast and Twitter, Make Me a Fan, or www.makemeafanpodcast.com. Thank you guys so much. I had a blast doing this. I look forward to the next time.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys.
Before you go, I was going to tell you, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, man.
No, it was actually a good thing. I was happy about the expo.
Yeah, there's a expo in our town. It's the Bloomington Toy and Comic Expo.
Oh,
you've got they're talking about having slots open for podcasters and stuff. So
and we're actually being considered. I talked to them.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. So since we're a local podcast, we're being considered to be like I guess have booth space there or something like that.
Shit.
Yeah, our next expo next year. So that's good.
Yeah. I was just excited about that. I'm sorry. I know you were trying to get off.
No, that's awesome, guys. If you get that, let me know. If you don't mind, I'll mail you a stack of stickers, put them on your little desk.
Yes, cool.
That's awesome, man. I really hope you guys get that. I was just talking to me and Carrie went to a pet festival today with the dogs, and I was like, we should get a fucking booth at a pet festival or a horror convention or a Comic-Con.
No, because it gets eyeballs to it. Yeah, you know, people see it. Like I think we're gonna work on taking and printing out some cards we're thinking about doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was just gonna fly out to the Marana University because
One thing I was gonna give you a suggestion on that I thought of recently, just since we help each other out, go ahead and if you go online, look into maybe printing off like a banner. So if you do go to those things, you'll have something to put out there, and that also kind of gets some eyes on it too.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okie dokie. All right, you take care, Sean.
All right, cool. Take it easy, guys. We'll talk to you again.
All right,
take care,
women.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
What the fuck? Mental vacation.
Makes me seem like a horrible individual.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Have anal sex with a person who, prior to the deed, has swallowed a piece of raw bacon.
What?
like fucking a chicken.
Well, make me a fan of your crime.
They still had places to go. You know, there were still bars.
Make me a fan, Cupcake.